It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Cultural institutions are constantly evolving to meet the needs of an ever-changing visitor demographic. Pittsburgh has no shortage of these artistic establishments, but what does it take to keep exhibits fresh and bring in new audiences? We're joined now in studio by Eric Scheiner. He's the director of the Andy Warhol Museum. They've recently acquired some interesting Warhol pieces and have a very exciting guest coming soon. Our exciting guest is Eric Scheiner. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Good, good. Good to have you back.
Thank you.
When you're putting together these exhibits, do you take into account the audience that's going to be seeing this work?
Absolutely. First and foremost, it's really one of our primary motivators to decide what exhibitions we're going to put on.
And, you know, I was talking earlier about the ever-changing visitor demographics. We've been doing this show for over 4 years now. You've been a guest on the show talking about things that have come through in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So even in this last 3-4 year period, how would you say things have changed? Because I'm imagining they have.
They certainly have. And not only have we changed the museum physically with our rehang and the complete redo of our ground floor sequencing, but so too has our attendance been rising, which is super exciting. We've seen anywhere from a 5 to 10% increase in admissions year by year. So last year we had our highest attendance ever at almost 145,000 people, which is super dynamic and really great news for us as an institution.
And what do you suppose it is that the patrons are responding to?
Well, you know, we've done all sorts of things. Not only do we try to bring in the most exciting exhibitions to bring people in, but we've also done very specific marketing campaigns with Mark USA, our advertising agency, and also very targeted marketing. For example, last year we did a thing called the Year of the Family. And stressed that the Warhol Museum is actually a great place to bring your kids. Kids absolutely love Warhol. They love soup cans. They love cats. They love all of the things that Warhol loved. And that it's a safe place to bring your kids and make art. And that worked really, really well. We doubled the number of kids in the museum historically. And over and above that, I think we also have the great news story that Pittsburgh is now a hot, hip city, and there's a lot of national attention on us. And I'm on the board of Visit Pittsburgh, and we see the number of tourists increasing exponentially as well, which, of course, not only benefits us as an institution, but the entire cultural landscape here in town.
More museums are allowing visitors to photograph exhibits. Do you feel that this helps broaden the audience?
Oh, it certainly does. And I think I can safely tell you now that as of June 1st, we are finally allowing photography at the Warhol Museum, the first time ever, which we're thrilled about.
Wow. So people can come in and
snap away.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what has been the response to the news that you're going to allow that?
I believe this may be the first incident of this news getting out. So
we're breaking news right now.
We are breaking news right now. June 1st, we will start to allow photography in our galleries. It's the perfect time to do it with our Ai Weiwei exhibition coming up, as he is the selfie social media king. So it certainly is a good time to do it.
Right. We're going to be talking about Ai Weiwei a little bit further along in this conversation. But social media, I know, has played a big part in the push to reinvigorate the audience at the Warhol. Mm-hmm. Talk about some of the things that you're doing in that regard.
Well, we have so many platforms that we utilize and activate on social media. And we've done everything from Kickstarter campaigns through social media campaigns. For example, we raised $20,000 in December to fund our activist print project, which is a series of murals on the Rosa Villa property across the street from the museum by young local African-American artists, which is fantastic, through to our daily presence on social media. We share literally every news article we find on Andy Warhol, which is quite a lot. And as a result, we are in the top 10 of followers on Twitter for any museum in the world. So I think we're nearly at 800,000 people following us on Twitter.
Wow.
In all corners of the globe. It's super exciting.
So when you talk about encouraging young artists and allowing them to express themselves, is censorship ever an issue when someone wants to make a particular statement? Is there ever kind of somebody shuddering and saying, we better think twice about this?
It's certainly, I would never, ever, ever censor an artist's work. That is antithetical to what we do as an institution. It's really about working with an artist to make sure that any message that an artist wants to put forward is as powerful and as impactful as humanly possible. So that's what our curators and everyone at the museum does, working with an artist, especially in what could otherwise be a very sensitive project, such as the Activist Print Project. And you just hone and refine until you get that message that is as powerful and packs as much of a wallop as possible. And sometimes that's very direct and in your face, and other times it's very subtle and takes a little bit more time to absorb.
As the director of the Andy Warhol Museum, how much of a say do you have in putting together the exhibits? You're someone who's been associated with Warhol for a long time. And so I'm wondering how much of a free hand you have in making these important decisions.
Well, of course, we have an amazing team of curators at the museum. Our new Milton Fine curator of art, Jose Carlos Diaz, just started literally last Monday. So we're very, very excited to have him here. But I hope that my curators come up with the best possible ideas, and they do. And basically, as the director, I simply green light, give a caution light, give advice, feedback, or very, very rarely give a red light if a project doesn't seemingly make sense for us. But it's really about getting the team activated to come up with these amazing ideas.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we're talking with Eric Scheiner. He's the director of the Andy Warhol Museum. You've recently acquired a Warhol piece called Do-It-Yourself Sailboats. What can you tell us about this?
Well, I am so over the moon about this painting. It is an incredibly rare, early hand-painted Warhol work. And forever, I had a top 10 list of objects that we desperately needed in the collection so that we could tell the full story of Warhol. We are so fortunate in that our collection is nearly full. We were just lacking a few critical works from very important series so that we have an example of literally everything Warhol ever did. And this Do-It-Yourself series was very high on that list. I never thought that one would become available. Four were in museums, one in private hands. And it just was one of those things that was really not realistic in terms of us ever acquiring one. And lo and behold, an institution in Europe who had two of these do-it-yourself paintings decided to deaccession one. And as soon as I found out that this was happening, luckily we were approached first before anyone else and had the opportunity to acquire it. And we took our time. We did everything necessary through all industry standards and very, very luckily were able to acquire it. And I cannot wait to share it with the public. It goes on view June 28th.
And how long will the Warhol have this painting?
Forever.
Forever?
Yes. It is ours.
That's great to hear. So anybody who from here till as long as we're all here and the Warhol is standing will have an opportunity to view this.
Absolutely.
This spring, you're featuring an exhibition with civil rights activist and artist Ai Weiwei. For those who may not be familiar, tell us a little bit about Ai Weiwei and why you wanted to bring him here to Pittsburgh.
I can safely say that Ai Weiwei is the most important artist working today. He is from China, lived in New York in the 1980s for a decade, and decided to go back to China to set up a studio and start to work as an artist with a social justice angle. While he was in New York, he, in all terms, was a dissident artist. Of course, things were quite bleak for artists working in China in the early 1980s, and almost every one of them, young Chinese artists, left. Most went to Europe, most went to Berlin or to Paris, but Ai Weiwei decided to go to New York. And the reason for that was because Andy Warhol was in New York. He wanted to be in the aura of Andy Warhol. And I've known Ai Weiwei for a very long time, and about 6 years ago, we started a conversation about bringing his circle of animals, the Zodiac Heads, to Pittsburgh, and that conversation quickly expanded into the exhibition that our visitors will see today. He is a political artist and on so many fronts is really trying to change the world, make it a better place, a more equitable place, and a more fair place for those that don't have voice, those that are downtrodden, For the average person in China, he is a hero. And right now, he is a huge activist and supporter of refugees attempting to leave the Middle East to go to Europe for safety.
How much courage does it take to do the kind of work that Ai Weiwei does? And I say that because he's in New York, and obviously he's free to do as he the work that that he's moved to do here in America, which would the kind of things would be very difficult to do in China. But the reach of the Chinese, the influence of the Chinese government is, I mean, it can snuff out ideas even here in the West and in the United States. Mm-hmm. Yet he persists. Talk about how he does that and the courage it takes to do it.
It is so complex, and the level of courage that he has is unlike anything I've ever seen. And it is very hard to say that someone is completely selfless in their quest, their passion to make the world a better place, and yet a huge figurehead, a huge personality at the same time. It is very hard to be a superstar on an international level and to remain humble and dedicated and driven. But he does that. Of course, in the 1980s, when he was in New York, he had absolute freedom to do what he wanted, and yet was a struggling young artist. He did not find his voice as an artist until he returned home to China in the early 1990s. And very interestingly, became that internal pest to the Chinese government and really set about changing China from within. Two great personal safety issues, if that makes sense. He put his own safety at risk by doing this internally in China and continued to do so. I think many people know that he went missing for a period of 81 days where no one knew where he was. The police stole him, and we all in the art world had no idea what had happened to him. Was he dead? Would he ever reemerge? And he did reemerge, and was then placed under house arrest at his studio in Beijing for a period of over 600 days. And very randomly, just last year, was given his passport back. The Chinese government actually took his passport so that he could not leave China, but they gave it back to him last year. And he very quickly started to figure out his next steps. He set up a studio in Berlin, where he is now officially based, but still has his studio in Beijing, still goes back to Beijing, and has even set up a studio on the Isle of Lesbos in Greece to be that much closer to the refugee crisis. So this is a person that thinks about the world, thinks about others first and foremost, and uses himself as the vehicle to get that message out. It takes a huge amount of courage.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and my guest is Eric Shiner. He is the director of the Andy Warhol Museum. Talk about the comparisons, if you would, Eric, between Ai Weiwei and Warhol that are often made.
It's so interesting that as we've been working on the show for now nearly 6 years at the end of the day, the number of comparisons that have emerged over that time and that continue to emerge as we see the show in physical space. We started off with a very big meta-level message, and that message is, how do two artists, Andy Warhol and Ai Weiwei, become the authors of the society within which they are living and working? Warhol changed everything about visual language. He changed everything about how we navigate society, and in so many ways foreshadowed social media and how we utilize it today. He changed everything in so many ways, just as Ai Weiwei is radically changing the very fabric of Chinese society today through his art and through his actions and his activism. So these two artists are literally reshaping their very societies in very big ways. That is very difficult for an artist to achieve. As you start to boil down and look at them side by side, very quickly, one realizes that they both look to Marcel Duchamp as their main source of inspiration, the idea of the ready-made, the idea that anything can be art as their foundation, and that you then start to see very formal relationships, whether it be the repetition of the same image again and again, whether it be using objects from popular culture to put forward an idea and to make things instantly recognizable and thus democratic. The story continues to unfold. They both have a very big approach to the idea of consumer culture, often from a critical position. For example, Ai Weiwei's urn, that is a Han Dynasty urn, and it's of itself a very valuable antique, and he decides to paint by hand the Coca-Cola logo on that very urn, shockingly making it even more valuable as a work of contemporary art, and it supersedes its value as an antique, as a cultural legacy product of China, and now stands for the new China, contemporary China, and yet with an American corporate logo on it. It's a very complex stance that both artists take on consumer culture, and I think that that story unfolds very nicely in this show, and there are many, many other points of comparison that visitors will see in this show.
There's a school of thought about, and you might have already explained a lot of this, but you talked about how they, Ai Weiwei and Warhol, the vision of each of those men has changed contemporary art. How would you say that they have done that? What specifically has been the impact?
Well, Warhol, on such a broad level, really redefined what art can be and allowed it to take any form, and that is because he utilized any form, whether it be film, whether it be video, whether it be publishing, et cetera, et cetera. He utilized every stream of media available to him to use that as a vehicle of putting his art out to the world. When you think about Ai Weiwei, he's changing things and changing the contemporary art world to very different ends. Warhol opens the door and allows anything to be art. Weiwei is making sure that art is political, that art actually does something to change the way we think about the world, and that it has a positive outcome. Warhol was not so concerned with the political content of his artwork. Certainly it is there. It does come across periodically, but for Ai Weiwei, it is the central tenet of his artwork and his art making. And he really challenges artists to say, how can you make the world a better place? And I think that's a very important message, especially right now.
And will this change for the time period that this is on display? Will this change how people think about art when they go to the Warhol? Because as you say, it's a place where you think about having fun. It's not like I'm going to an art museum and I've got to be quiet and you know, sort of kind of shut my emotions down. Or keep them to myself. Ai Weiwei has a tendency to make you want to turn inward a little bit. And how will that impact the visitors?
It'll be interesting because that's exactly what we want the Warhol Museum to be, a place of dialogue, a place of experience, of having fun, of actually learning through making and seeing all of the many, many facets of Andy Warhol. The show definitely and surprisingly has a lot of fun angles to it. There are very bright, vibrant moments. We have an entire gallery dedicated to both of their interest in flowers and beauty, just as we have galleries that are dedicated to their love of cats. Who knew? But both Andy Warhol and Ai Weiwei are complete cat maniacs. So there are certainly fun upbeat angles to the exhibition, just as there are very complex and really impactful moments of political nature, of looking at surveillance in the state, how we're being watched. So I think it will be, I don't want to go so far as to say an emotional roller coaster, because it won't be exactly that, but certainly people will have a variety of different feelings as they traverse our galleries.
Well, it's certainly going to be a very interesting month of June at the Warhol this month and beyond. And we've had Eric Shiner in to talk with us about all of this. He's the director of the Andy Warhol Museum. It's been a while, but it's been great to visit with you again. Thank
Indeed.
You so much for bringing us up to speed on all things Warhol and Weiwei.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
More Essential Pittsburgh coming up. This is 90.5 WESN.